This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think from a lot of those theories are things that happen in social media and they get a new life. As you say, it's not your theory, but it's out there. Nobody wants it to be their theory. And so I understand that. I think it reflects a lot of the fans' passion. And I think it also is a reminder for us how important officiating is. And I think the men and women that officiate in the NFL are outstanding. They have the highest possible standards. That's a ridiculous theory for anyone who might take it seriously. But at the end of the day, you know, it's something we always have to continue to work on. How do we make our officiating better?
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Don't gaslight me, Rog. Look, I'm not buying into the theory that it's rigged. I am going to go ahead and call you out on saying that they're doing a good job, though.
Yeah, that's where I end.
Don't gaslight me, Roger.
Yeah, they're not
don't
doing
do
a
good
job.
Because I ain't buying it.
Also, officiating in like most sports is kind of abysmal.
Just make them full time.
Yeah, I don't know why that's...
Make it their actual job.
I don't know why that's such an issue. Well, and probably not getting paid as much as their day jobs is probably the big reason why.
Either way, still my point. You're the NFL.
Yeah, you kind of print money at this point. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
We're having games in Australia. If that game, by the way, does not kick off at 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you're all cowards. Why are we even having the game if it's not going to be held like the Australian Grand Prix? It's absurd. Let's go to the Western Hotline as the Super Bowl is this Sunday. One of those teams is the Philadelphia Eagles. And joining us now, Lou DiBiase, host of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Lou, first of all, how was New Orleans, man?
What's up, guys? It was crazy. That was maybe the most insane 5 days of my life. So I'm glad to be back in Buffalo. But, yeah, Radio Row and the Super Bowl spectacle. It's definitely a circus, I'll say that much.
I will say, you probably timed it out perfectly, though, too, Lou, because you end up going, and it's before, like, the mass chaos shows up. That's when you left. Very astute and very smart call there on your end.
Yeah, I mean, it was so crazy. I was at Media Day Monday at the Superdome, and you know, that's kind of fun for you get to see, like, everyone at the podiums and, you know, surprise, got a good amount of questions into some Eagles. But, you know, you got, like, Nickelodeon there and People Magazine, and it's not for real media. So it was cool being there for a few days. But, yeah, definitely eventually you want to get out of the chaos. It's just crazy how stretched out all this Super Bowl stuff is. I mean, for 2 weeks, it's exciting for a bit. Mm-hmm. But, the fatigue is starting to set in. Like, I need this game to just start already. Like, at this point, I don't even know what else to talk about.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because that was my thing. As you know, we're getting ready for the AFC Championship, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be like a 2 week party. This is going to be awesome. And I'm like, yeah, most parties I want to leave by like 9 at night. Like, yeah. I'm not going to want this to go for 2 weeks. And yeah. For you, this is not, for Bills fans, this would be our first Super Bowl since the 90s. For you, they've made three in the last 10 years. Like, so at a certain point, you're like, all right, let's just get this going.
Yeah, and I'm sure Bills fans are completely rolling their eyes at me saying that, like, oh, I'm sick of the Super Bowl experience since I've had three in a decade. But, you know, you just had the national media just stretching the same topics about, is Jalen Hurts a system quarterback? Can they win running the ball? The Chiefs storyline, and it's just over and over again, just regurgitated stuff. So, I mean, it's great for the NFL. Like, they're never going to change this. But for somebody in media, it's like, oh, man. I mean, there is just – they really do stress this thing out.
I think there's an underrated quality to it that doesn't get mentioned, though, Zach. Louis, you mentioned, you know, the three in the last 10 years, you wanting to get this thing started. I think that there's also the stress. You know, we were all swallowing our own stomachs for the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. Can you imagine how panicked we would all be feeling here if the Bills were playing in a Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, the nerves, I think that's part of what's driving me crazy right now. And, you know, people might say, well, the Eagles just won a Super Bowl 8 years ago. But, and again, Bills fans are not going to want to hear this. But 8 years is a very long time. Like, 8 years, it doesn't, at this point, if you lose, like, when they lost in 2022, I didn't say, well, it doesn't hurt, you know, as much because they won 5 years ago. Like, no, not at all. It's a completely different team. It's a new head coach. It's a new quarterback. It's new storylines. And there's so much at stake. If they can beat the Chiefs and stop a three-peat, I mean, they're going to be talked about for the rest of time in the NFL. Like, this is a historic moment. So there's just so much at stake. And again, for 2 weeks, there's just, like, the nerves can really drain you. And I think the players seem really locked in, though. They're definitely not enjoying the experience as much as they were 2 years ago. The players are also ready to get this thing going by this point.
You mentioned something, Louie, and I kind of want to tie in a personal anecdote. When you and I were at Buff State together, you affectionately said that you were the Anakin to my Obi-Wan. But now the Eagles are the Obi-Wan in this situation. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. And the Eagles are the last hope against seeing a three-peat within the NFL where this Kansas City dominance has continued, including the last time these two teams met in the Super Bowl.
No, honestly, it does feel like it's the Eagles and everybody against the Chiefs. I don't think anybody outside of Kansas City wants to see them win this game. And I don't find, you know, I think in Buffalo, they're so unlikable because they just, you know, they keep beating the Bills and the Ravens and the Bengals. And if they beat the Eagles now, it'd be twice in two Super Bowls in the last 3 years. It'll feel very Cavs, Warriors, NBA, if you will, for our basketball fans out there. So I think there's Chiefs fatigue that's set in. But at the same time, I don't see them as the Patriots where, you know, they're these obvious cheaters that just have unlikable players and coaches. So, you know, I think for me, it's just, and I like history in the NFL. I think it's cool to see legacies, you know, quarterbacks getting rings. That's why I want to see Allen get one eventually and Lamar Jackson. But I do think there is like a legitimate fatigue that's setting in, like three straights different. You know, it's cool to see a team repeat, but I mean, three in a row has never been done before. So I don't think there's many people outside of Kansas City that are, and not that the Eagles are the most likable franchise in the NFL, but that's what's interesting. It's rare territory that everyone's with this team over the other. But yeah, I can't imagine anybody really wants to see Kansas City win this, especially in Buffalo.
Looking at some of the fun storylines for the Eagles, I think it almost starts and ends with Saquon Barkley. You know, the season began with sort of making fun of the Giants, especially how the season started. And then it's just kind of become like, I think a lot of fans just wanting to see Barkley kind of like put a bow on this season. I kind of teased it a little bit to Derek a few hours ago, but I think he could maybe put up like a Terrell Davis Hall of Fame career here. I think the Eagles and the offensive line is more than talented enough for him to put up consistent years here. Now, I'm not saying 2,000 yards, but 13 plus 100 yard rushing seasons, I think, is more than capable for him, especially with how he runs. And if he could add a Super Bowl along with Offensive Player of the Year and maybe a Super Bowl MVP, I feel like we're getting close to him being a lock for the Super Bowl, or for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable story that in 2024, a running back might be the reason that a team with maybe the greatest quarterback of all time, or if not number one, number two, that player and that head coach, one of the greatest play callers ever in Andy Reid, don't win three straight Super Bowls. Like, for a running back to potentially be able to do that in 2024. Now, granted, the Eagles have the number one defense in football. Jalen Hurts, to me, I think is vastly underrated. He's getting underrated right now because of how good Saquon Barkley is. And I think Nick Sirianni doesn't get enough credit, too. So, of course, this is one of the most talented rosters they've ever put together. But Saquon being, like, the main reason you're here, in a league, in an era where this position has just been chewed up and swallowed, and just, or I should say, you know, spit out, where nobody wants to pay this position. Nobody really wants to draft them with first, second round picks. And if they do, after that first contract, you're getting rid of them. For a running back to now be maybe the reason you dethrone a team that is this good and is about to set history is unbelievable. So he only needs 30 yards, actually, crazy enough, in the Super Bowl to break Terrell Davis's all-time record for most yards in a single regular season and playoff combined. So if he does that, he gets a ring, and he's still in his prime. Like, this isn't the last year of Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia. Yeah, he's absolutely building up a Hall of Fame resume. And this this will go down as the greatest season a running back has ever had. I don't care what Emmett Smith said the other day about it not topping Eric Dickerson's. This is the greatest season a running back has ever had.
Especially, Lou, I mean, he doesn't play the last week. He was, if he broke it, was likely going to do it in less carries than Dickerson did. I didn't care about games. I cared about carry numbers, and Barkley was well on his way to doing that.
Well, that's the thing, is everyone was saying, oh, it's in week 18, that he had a whole extra game to break the record. And I think the Eagles did make the right call sitting him, because last year, before the 2023 playoffs, A.J. Brown played in that week 18 game against New York. He hurt his ankle, and he missed the wild card. So I think they did make the right call. But if he broke it, yeah, I don't think that was going to take away from the award because he played an extra game. Like you said, he had far less carries than Eric Dickerson this year. He was getting most of his yardage off 20, 30-plus yard plays. I mean, he was kind of the DeSean Jackson, if you will, at running back, where at any moment he could break off 70-yard touchdowns. So I think if he would have got the record, it would have added to the legacy even more. And that's the craziest part about this. I can't believe this actually happened. Howie Roseman has never paid a running back a contract that goes for more than just 1 or 2 years. And for him to finally do it, and it results in potentially a championship, is just, I think it's a really cool story.
And looking at this, Louis, when it comes to, it's not just about Saquon Barkley. He did play great. He's the offensive player of the year. He should have gotten some first place votes for MVP, in my opinion, but he didn't. I will say, though, there is something else to it. There's more to this Eagles offense, though, than just Saquon Barkley, of course. And that is also, the passing game has kind of been a little on and off every now and then. We hear about, like, the reports of the misconnection between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. They have Devonta Smith there. They have Dallas Goedert there. There is more to this offense that can make them more dynamic and versatile of a threat for this Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the reason they made the Super Bowl 2 years ago, was because of Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devonta Smith. So that's the reason Saquon Barkley also has so much success is, yeah, of course, you got a great offensive line in front of him, and he's a generational talent. But teams cannot commit to stacking the box 90% of the time. Like, the Eagles do not face a 8-plus man box 70, 80% of the time, because if you do that, then boom, here are one-on-one matchups and man coverage for two of the best man beaters in football in Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. And oh, by the way, they have an elite tight end right now in Dallas Goedert, who is crushing in the postseason. He's actually been their most consistent part of the passing game. So, yeah, there's an acceptance point that I think everyone has to come to with Jalen Hurts. Is he Josh Allen in the pocket or Joe Burrow or, heck, even Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes? No. But he's elite in his own way. He's very – I would say his career is panning out kind of like Russell Wilson or Cam Newton. He's an elite deep ball passer. He's an elite mobile quarterback. He's clutch. He doesn't turn the football over. And, yeah, he's hot and cold as a passer, but I think you've seen games this year where he can dominate through the air if he has to, against the Commanders in the NFC title, against the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Cincinnati Bengals in the regular season. And we saw it the last 2 years that if Jalen has to throw 30-plus times, he can win you that game, including Super Bowl 57, where he was better than Mahomes. So, yeah, it's been a little more few and far between this year, but it's also by design. After the bye week, they said, we're going all in on this Saquon Barkley approach. And I think Jalen Hurts deserves a lot of credit, kind of like Josh Allen this year, where he had to accept a different role and be more of a game manager, because I think that's what the team needed more of him this year. So I think it's actually a cool story what's happened with the passing game, and I actually feel pretty confident that if they have to throw on Sunday, that they'll have success. I mean, it's hard not to when you have the talent that they do, even regardless of the quarterback's limitations.
On the Western Hotline, Lou DiBiase, host of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Lou, I think maybe my favorite thing of this Eagles team, though, and to be perfectly honest, the thing that was sort of stopping me in my tracks on that Tuesday, Wednesday after the Bills had lost the AFC Championship, of, you know, that feeling of this is their year, here they come, you know, all the good feelings, and then, you know, everything kind of unfolds, and you're like, all right, who would your opponent have been? It's the Eagles. I look at this defense, man, and namely Jalen Carter, who it appears we got good news today that he was a full participant yesterday. His illness appears to have passed. This defense, though, I know Carter had his very egregious, you know, pre-draft red flags character-wise, but, I mean, hell, he is an unbelievable player for you guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy they went from Fletcher Cox right to Jalen Carter, and the fact that he fell, yeah, we all know what happened before the draft and why he fell the 9 overall, but the fact that they got this kind of talent there is unbelievable. I mean, Aaron Donald says Carter reminds him more of himself than anybody in the league right now, and you've seen that in the playoffs. Without Jalen Carter, they don't beat the Rams in the divisional round. I mean, Matt Stafford was knocking on the door inside the 20. If he scores that touchdown, the game's over. Jalen Carter blew up that third down to end the game with a game-winning sack, and he's been doing that all year. So I think Carter is so instrumental against the Chiefs' interior offensive line that's very inconsistent. We still don't even know who's starting where. Is Tooney going to be inside, or is he going to be at left tackle? So I think Carter has to wreck this game for the Chiefs to win it, or for the Eagles to win it. But it's not just him. I think the main part, Zach, of why the Eagles' defense turned things around this year is Howie Rosen finally invested real resources into corner, safety, and linebacker. He stopped putting Band-Aids at those positions, drafting Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean in the first two rounds, both Rookie of the Year finalists. He brought back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Zach Bond is a first-team all-pro linebacker. They're just never good at linebacker. So he finally said, I have to take a year, because he always says you got to build through the trenches. And that's true. The majority of the time, you should be taking linemen in the first two rounds, investing a lot of your big contracts in those positions. That's your bread and butter. But that doesn't mean every year you ignore the other positions. And I'm glad he took 1 year to say, all right, let's finally get some sustained success at these other positions and get some youth in here. And I think without, you know, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean especially, I don't think they're playing in the Super Bowl right now.
And you mentioned it too, and maybe the frightening thing for other NFC teams, how young they are. You know, Carter's only 23. You mentioned both Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell both being finalists for Rookie of the Year defensively. Rookies. Zach Bond is in, I think, his fourth or fifth year. Nolan Smith as well is another young guy. It's just it's young guy after young guy after young guy. And then even on the offensive line, yeah, you lose guys like Jason Kelce and other guys are going to get older. But then Jordan Mailata kind of, you know, he comes into his own and who he is. It's just I think for me almost the main character of this Super Bowl team for the Eagles is like weirdly enough their GM and Howie Roseman and just how much better he is than literally everyone else at the position.
No, honestly, I think that's the craziest part is the Eagles have made three Super Bowls in 8 years, right? They've made the playoffs in seven of those eight seasons. So it seems like they're one of the most consistent teams in football. But they've done it with completely different-looking teams every single time. Like, if they win this championship and have two in 8 years, it's really the Howie Roseman dynasty, and that's it. I mean, he'll be the first GM, I think, ever to win two rings in under a decade with a completely different head coach and quarterback combination. So it's honestly, if anyone deserves credit for getting back to this point, for the Eagles, it's Howie. And I just what he has done to reinvent this roster, like you said, it's a younger team compared to 2017 and 2022. You know, 2017 was one of the oldest rosters in football. 2022 is a nice balance of the old core and the new. This one, the exciting part is they're, you know, NFL windows close, and that's why you gotta capitalize when you're here, because you never know when you're gonna get back. Some of the best teams just can't get there. But at the same time, yeah, like this is finally a core where it's like, no, this isn't a one and done thing. Like the window does feel wide open, and that's all because of the GM.
Thanks for that extra dagger there. Some of the best teams can't make it. Appreciate that one.
Not a slight of the Bills.
No, I know, but I just got to get this out of the way. There we go. All right.
I'm sorry.
I know you didn't mean it. It just ended up getting, I just got a stab. Louis, when it comes down to it, though, there is one advantage that Kansas City does happen to have. There are obviously a couple, but namely at head coach. What can Nick Sirianni do differently in this rematch here in order to help out with this? And having a different set of assistants, particularly on defensive coordinator there, to try to gain the upper hand this time around against Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned the defensive coordinator, because Jonathan Gannon was not prepared for Andy Reid's offense at all 2 years ago. And he was just too busy and distracted getting ready to be the Arizona Cardinals head coach. I'm not bitter at all, if you can't tell by my tone. But I do think Vic Fangio is going to have a much better plan for Travis Kelce. For Nick Sirianni, I think what he has to do different, he can't coach scared. I feel like in the second half of that game when the Eagles had a lead, you know, he's settling for a field goal to only go up 10. He's punting on fourth and short at midfield. He's giving the Chiefs the ball back. I just felt like he wasn't going for the kill enough like Doug Peterson did in 2017. When you're facing a dynasty like this that is so good in one possession games, they're so good in the fourth quarter. I mean, you guys know it more than anybody. You have to go for the kill shot. Like, you have to be aggressive and basically, like, you know, to mention, to quote Zach Ertz back in the day, to burn the boats. Like, there's only plan A. There's no plan B. There's no turning back. Like, you got to go for it now. And I feel like Sirianni just, I don't know, I feel like he kind of turtled up a little bit in that second half. So I think for Nick, because he doesn't call plays, because he doesn't game plan on defense, it's hard to say, you know, specifically on the field what he needs to do different. But I think when it comes to, like, in-game decisions, third and fourth down, red zone, like, you have to capitalize in those toss-up moments against Kansas City, or you're going to lose the game. So I think that's the main part for Nick. But I think for the coordinators, I feel a lot more confident this time around than I did in 2022.
Lou, you bring up Sirianni there, and it's another reason why I think Roseman has done so well with this, winning, you know, a Super Bowl with a coach, ultimately Doug Peterson. We kind of see it wasn't what he was becoming when he wins it in 17. Sirianni has also become that. I mean, there were the rumblings beginning of this year, the friction between him and Hurts, even how last year ended and how much of a disaster it was. There was real feelings he could get fired. What would winning a Super Bowl, making two in such a quick run for him, what do you think that would mean for him, especially with Eagles fans, which we know and many fan bases can be very fickle?
Yeah, it's actually disappointing, but I don't think Nick Sirianni is going to get the credit if he wins. I really don't think if he gets this ring, it's going to do much for the narrative around him, because his support system is so good. He has such a good general manager and a great roster, and he doesn't call plays. He's not running the defense, right? So because you can't really quantify what he does, because you can't really see, there's no numbers to show you the culture that he's built in the locker room. Like that kind of stuff people roll their eyes at, even though it has a real impact. But because you can't really quantify that, I don't know if a win is going to do much for his legacy like it would Howie Roseman or a Jalen Hurts, right, or a Saquon Barkley. But I think it should, because there's only two or three coaches, I believe, all time that in their first 4 years of coaching have made it to two Super Bowls and have made the playoffs in every single one of those seasons. So, like, what he's doing is historic. But it's crazy. I really don't think if they win this, like, I think Nick Sirianni and the storylines, the list of storylines that people are going to talk about, it's going to be buried when it comes to, yeah, I just don't think people are going to be saying, boom, Nick Sirianni has arrived. He's one of the greatest coaches in football. Like, I just don't think that's going to happen. And it's, again, because I think of the style of head coach that he is.
Lou DiBiase of Locked On Eagles joining us here on the Western Hotline. Lou, last one from me. And it's an accidental lob, but at the same time, it's something to think about the Eagles and their legacy within the National Football League. I look back at the Buffalo Bills and the last time that they played in a football game, they went 2 of 5 on short conversions, namely with that tush push, so to say. The Bills have a different variation of it, but how broken is that play when it comes to Philadelphia executing it versus the rest of the league?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty automatic play. I found it weird, and I doubt that would happen again. Like, if Josh Allen, in the majority of games, had as many attempts as he did with the sneak as he did in the AFC title, he's going to convert 90% of those. I just think he just kept trying to go behind the left guard, and he wouldn't adjust, whereas the Eagles, Jalen Hurts is reading where the hole is every single time. So I think that's what he does really well with the tush push. People don't give him enough credit for that play, and everybody knows he squats 600 pounds, and he's a smaller quarterback than Josh Allen too, so I think that's part of what makes it so good, and their offensive line's incredible. But I do think that was a rarity, like that was a one-off, because the Bills all year had success with that play. The Panthers, when they had Cam Newton, had success with sneaks. I mean, Tom Brady even would master that play with New England. So I think Philadelphia deserves a lot of credit for it. They're definitely the best in the league at doing that. But I don't think suddenly Kansas City has, like, figured out the magic, you know, formula for stopping that play. I think the Eagles are going to use it a lot on Sunday, and they're going to have success. And I think the Bills will use it again next year, and they'll have success. It was just weird that the Chiefs just knew Allen was going to go behind the left guard every single time, and they just didn't adjust. So I think that's really all it was.
Speaking of weird, the last time we saw the Eagles play was the mass chaos on one of those, because of they're trying to bait Washington off sides because they keep jumping over the line, and the refs are like, we're straight up going to threaten them with a touchdown. To a point where I started, like,
it's my favorite play this year,
cursing at the TV, because I'm just like, snap the ball already, guys. Come on, stop doing this.
I didn't even know it was a rule. I didn't,
I don't think anybody did.
Awarded a touchdown. It's unbelievable.
Wait, I'm not watching the Chiefs. What?
It was. I really enjoyed watching all of that. Lou, though, before we get you out of here, thanks so much for giving us so much of your time as well. I can't have you leave here without giving a prediction. I know you're an Eagles fan. Are you feeling an Eagles win on Sunday?
I think they're going to get it done, and it's probably more my heart saying it than my head. I mean, they're the
foolish boys
on paper. I think they're going to win it. I think both teams are going to put up over 30, though. I think it's going to be a back and forth game like it was last time. But at the same time, sometimes football's not played on paper. So if the Chiefs get this done and they three-peat again, or not again, but for the first time ever, I'm not going to be surprised. It's a toss-up, but this team feels different. They feel more like the 2017 team that got it done than the 2022 team that didn't. So I'm going to try to hang my hat on that and say they get the job done. And I really hope for everyone's sake that they do, because an off season of talking about the Chiefs with three straight rings, it's going to be a long 7 months.
I'm just not going to deal with it. Louis, I'm going to become very aggressively a huge golf fan to avoid it.
Louis, protect your peace. Obviously, you have to watch that game, and you have to do your hit for Locked On Eagles later on. But thank you for joining us, my friend, and we will talk soon.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
That was Lou DiBiase, host of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I feel good. After talking with him, I feel
you
good.
You foolish boys.
I feel good. I'm dead serious. I'm already watching the Waste Management Phoenix Open a lot. I am not afraid to become a massive, massive golf junkie to avoid talking about a Chiefs three-peat. I'm prepared for that.
Okay.
College basketball's hitting its apex.
Yes, you'll be thriving.
The draft, I can just ignore the Chiefs as an entity. I'm ready to go.
You can't ignore them if you're a draft junkie.
Yeah, I can. They'll pick 32nd.
Yeah, and they'll take someone that you really like.
Don't say that. I wasn't a worthy guy, so I was okay last year. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here for just another half hour before we hand you off to Schopen the Bulldog. This is WGR.